Once Upon a Journey, Volume 2, Chapter 93, Sudden Arrests. The Baal Shem Tov had told Yosef Yitzchak that in addition to representing Minsk at the meeting of the Vod, while you are in Vitebsk, you will find your Basharit. The members of the Vod welcomed the Eloi of Sharia warmly and with utmost respect. During his stay in Vitebsk, Yosef Yitzchak had the opportunity to deliver a shir to the community. One of the people at the shir was a man named Kaddish, the uncle of Baruch and Devor Leah. Kaddish, if you recall, was the uncle of Baruch of Vitebsk and Devor Leah, who had been orphaned of both their parents at a young age. Baruch had set off on his own, traveling around the country. Devor Leah had remained in Vitebsk so that she could be near the graves of her parents, which she visited often. As Kaddish concentrated on the train of thought in Yosef Yitzchak's complicated pilpul, he was deeply impressed by the Bachar's Torah knowledge and fine character. As he listened, a thought entered his mind. This young man would make an excellent shidduch for his orphan niece. Later that night, he shared his idea with his wife, Freida. "We know Devor Leah very well," he told her. "She truly deserves the finest young man for a husband." "On the other hand," he continued in a worried tone, "why would an Eloi, like this wonderful young man, consider an orphaned girl who has no parents to offer him a nice sum of money so that he can continue learning Torah after their marriage?" "It's not our job to decide for Hashem," Freida told her husband. "We must try our best and leave the rest to him. If you think about it, this Eloi is famous, but he's not yet married. He must have received many suggestions already, but he was not interested in them. Perhaps Devor Leah is his true match. There's no harm in giving it a try." Encouraged by his wife's words, Kaddish secretly sent a reliable shadchan to Yosef Yitzchak to suggest Devor Leah for a wife. The shadchan described the young woman's wonderful qualities and told Yosef Yitzchak about the young orphan's special parents and their impressive family history. To Kaddish and Freida's delight, Yosef Yitzchak was indeed interested in meeting Devor Leah. He understood that this suggested shidduch was the fulfillment of the Baal Shem Tov's prophecy. "While you are in Vitebsk, you will find your Basher." Kaddish and Freida told Devor Leah that the famous Eloi of Sharia was willing to meet her and that he would consider marrying her. She felt like the luckiest person on earth. And so, Yosef Yitzchak and Devor Leah met. Almost immediately, they felt deep in their hearts that they were meant for each other. Among other things, Yosef Yitzchak told Devor Leah about the Nistarim and their leader, the Baal Shem Tov. Devor Leah listened carefully and was fascinated by what Yosef Yitzchak told her. In just a matter of days, it was official. The Eloi of Sharia was engaged to Devor Leah, the orphan girl from Vitebsk. Their engagement took place during Hanukkah, and they set a date for their wedding for the month of Nisan. Meanwhile, deeply disturbing events were taking place that shook the Jewish community of Vitebsk. Early one morning, the governor of Vitebsk sent messengers to summon the head of the community, Rav Zalman Leib, and three other Jewish communal leaders. When they arrived at the governor's mansion, he immediately ordered all four men to be thrown in jail. Their protests and pleas to be told what they had done wrong fell on deaf ears. The governor did not bother to explain why they were suddenly being locked up. The news spread rapidly through the town, causing shock and confusion. And, as bad as this was, the governor was not finished. He sent his guards to the home of the wealthy Rav Avram Segel. They seized his money and important documents and brought Rav Avram too before the governor, who ordered him to be locked up as well. By now, the Jews were in an uproar. Storekeepers closed their stores, workmen laid down their tools, everyone left their place of business and hurried to the main shul to learn the latest updates and, more importantly, to daven for the release of their fellow Jews. The families of the five jailed men headed for the governor's mansion to plead for the release of their relatives. However, not only did the governor refuse their heartfelt requests, but he also ordered his guards to drive them away. The guards rudely and violently dispersed the families. The Vitebsk community was in a great turmoil. A delegation of some of the most respected men in the community now made their way to the governor's mansion, hoping to learn the reason the governor had thrown so many prominent Jews into prison. At the entrance, they were met by armed soldiers who treated them with scorn as they led the men inside to a large empty room. The guards ordered the delegation to wait there. Looking around, they were surprised to find that it was completely empty, without even a chair in sight. They waited for a while, but the governor did not arrive. One of the men then tried the door and discovered it had been firmly locked. The delegation that had come to help free their friends realized that they were now prisoners as well. "Let us trust in Hashem," declared Rav Shlomo, an elderly Talmud Chacham. He remembered an incident that his own grandfather had shared with him that had taken place 90 years earlier. The governor of Vitebsk at that time had also caused the Jewish community great suffering and worry. However, in the end, and in a most surprising way, he had apologized and had even paid the Jews for the suffering he had caused them. "Perhaps this is another test from Hashem," Rav Shlomo suggested. "Perhaps he wants to see how much faith and trust we have in him." After a long and worrying wait, the door opened and the delegation was led away to meet the governor. They found him playing with his trained dog. He barely glanced at the honorable men standing before him. His message was clear. The dog was worth more to him than the most respected Jews. "Your honor," one of the men began, "all we wish is to be told the crime that our friends committed for which they have been thrown into jail." The governor acted as if he had not heard. He continued playing with his dog, which stood on its hind legs from time to time and stretched his paws out to him. Eventually, he turned to face the delegation. "At this stage, the matter is not being publicly revealed," the governor told them coldly. "You will find out only after your friends have rotted in jail for a long time and learned their lesson. That's all I have to say. You're fortunate that I am granting you even this time. Now leave my home immediately." The heartbroken delegation turned sadly away. They returned to the Jewish community of Vitebsk, where they explained that their mission had failed and they had been mistreated by the governor. Zev Wolf was a member of the Vitebsk community who leased properties from wealthy landowners in the area. He was a good friend of many wealthy nobles. All of his important contacts, however, were powerless to help in this case. The governor would not listen to anyone, and it seemed that nothing could be done to rescue the five imprisoned Jews. The Jews of Vitebsk felt lost. If they could at least discover the reason for the imprisonment, they could try to work out a solution. However, they had no idea what was behind the mysterious arrests. A few days later, Reb Kehas arrived in Vitebsk. He had been sent by the Baal Shem Tov to deliver an important message to the Nestorim, who lived and worked secretly in the city. Until that day, Yosef Yitzchak had not known that the Baal Shem Tov had a network of hidden tzaddikim who worked on his behalf in Vitebsk. Reb Kehas informed the Nestorim in the name of their holy Rebbe that they must fast for 3 days to remove the evil decree. At the same time, the Baal Shem Tov had armed Reb Kehas with good news. "The decree will end in 10 days from now," he announced. Reb Kehas left the city the same day that he arrived, and the Nestorim began their 3-day fast. The Vitebsk Jews knew nothing about the secret meeting that had taken place. Instead, they continued trying to resolve the situation through ordinary means, asking people who were close to the governor to intercede on their behalf. So far, however, they were unsuccessful. The breakthrough finally came from a most unexpected source.